In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel lesson is taken from Luke chapter 12, and it's one of those parables that's unique to Luke's gospel, one of those parables that teaches, and we call it often the parable of the rich fool. The thing that precipitates that, Jesus teaching this parable, is just a few verses before we heard what we heard read. Someone from the crowd asked Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And then Jesus says a few other things, and then he says finally, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he begins to tell this parable. In the parable we heard, there's a man who has a good year. His crops yield forth plentifully, doesn't know what to do with them. He has so much bounty. Where will I store them? Where will I store all the goods? So he decides to build bigger warehouses and store them to ensure his security for the future. But he doesn't know that he's going to die very soon. And in the parable, he's called a fool. God tells him, "This very night your soul is required of you. Whose then will the goods be that you have stored up for yourself?" And then Jesus says at the end, "So is anybody else who is not rich toward God." In other words, a fool. We are condemned as fools if we are not rich toward God. So we might want to ask, what does it mean to be rich toward God? And what can we do that this rich man who had a good year did not do? What does it mean to be rich toward God? Well, we heard in the epistle today from Ephesians, stated very succinctly, God is rich in mercy, and out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and made us to sit with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, that in the coming ages he might sow the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. In other words, everything that we have in store for us in this promise that God gives us through the Holy Spirit, to be inheritors of the kingdom of heaven, that is richness toward God. We have a promise. We are children of a promise. It is ratified through faith, Paul tells us. By grace you have been saved. We know that good works don't save us. Keeping commandments per se, we don't earn righteousness on our own, but by belonging to Jesus Christ and having faith in him. And through his faith, we are saved. Through our faith in him and through his faith, we are saved. That's true too. So this is what it means to be rich in God. To have that promise and to attain it through putting on Jesus Christ. Just a little bit before, two chapters before what we heard today, there was that parable of the Good Samaritan. That's kind of the quintessential parable, you know, to teach us how we should be at all times. And we all know that parable. We hear it every year, usually around Great Lent. Or no, it's before. But we know what happens, you know. The message of that parable is we're to love everybody. We're to give of ourselves. We're to love the person that we're supposed to hate in the world. Maybe the person that hates us. We're supposed to love that person the most, you know, and give of ourselves to build that person up. Not to condemn people, not to tear them down, not to criticize them, but to build them up in love. And that's what goes on in that parable. The Samaritan is supposed to hate the Jew. He's supposed to shun him. They're not supposed to have any kind of social interaction. But he goes out of his way. He builds him up. He gives of his own money to help the man heal and to take care of him. He genuinely cares about him. So that's what the rich man in today's parable should have been doing. Because if we don't love Jesus Christ, if we don't love God, if we don't take care to make sure we belong to Him through obedience, through love, and through keeping His commandments, then our richness in God, inheriting the kingdom of heaven, is at stake. Because that's the only way we get to heaven, is through belonging to Jesus Christ. Not concerning ourselves with material possessions and building ourselves up and thinking only about our security and about our well-being, but taking care of the other person. That's what's missing in the parable today. The rich man was a fool. He neglected that. He only thought of himself, and his life was over. Let's not be foolish, brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's make sure to take care of the other person and to know that our true richness lies in our relationship with God that we have through Jesus Christ. And let's cultivate it and work at it. Today also in the church, we're the Sunday just after the Feast of the Entrance of the Theotokos into the temple. This is a major feast of the church, one of the 12. And we have this feast, you know. Sometimes we kind of forget about it. It slips by. We don't hear about it read in the Gospels. It's nowhere in the New Testament, this commemoration we have. But we do remember, and it's part of our church tradition, how the Virgin Mary was raised, what kind of a childhood she had. And that's really what's going on in our remembrance of this feast. She was raised in the temple. She was taken in as a young girl. She was fed, both literally and spiritually, by the priests in the temple. She was raised up in an environment of piety and holiness. And as Orthodox, we're very interested in that, and we like to emphasize that, because nowhere in our theology do we ever say that Mary required some special grace of God, that she had to be cleansed of sin in order to conceive Jesus Christ in her womb. That's nowhere in our teaching and in our belief. There are some faiths that teach that, but we don't believe that that's necessary. The Virgin Mary grew up in a house that loved God. Her parents, Joachim and Anna, dedicated her to God at a young age. They knew who God was. So we might then say, well, how can somebody be holy apart from Jesus Christ? We're not saying that Mary doesn't need Jesus Christ, because she does. That's the only way we get to share in this life of God. But remember, it was not complete darkness before Jesus came. There were people that had faith. Abraham had faith. And the Bible, the Word of God, says that was accounted to him as righteousness. He believed in God. He trusted God. And the prophets heard the Word of God and they proclaimed it out into the world. Not complete darkness, but people who were genuinely trying to do good and believe in God and trusting in His Word until the fullness of the promise would come in Jesus Christ. And Mary was there when the fullness of the promise came. That's why we always remember her on her feast days with the Gospel of the Annunciation, when the angel came and tells her, you are going to give birth to this son. His name will be Jesus. He will save people from his sins. The power of the Almighty will overshadow you. And Mary, being in innocence and not really knowing how that could happen, says, wow. But let it be to me according to what you have said, according to the Word of God. So right there, we know that Mary had her parents instilled in her, and her whole environment was this goodness and this trust in God and His Word. Just by the way she responds when the angel comes to proclaim that good news to her. So we get a lesson from that today too. You know, raising up children in holiness, in piety, in fear of the Lord. Mary was brought into the temple. She was raised up in the church, as we would say today. Are we raising up our children in the church? Are we teaching them what the church teaches? Are we feeding them with the Word of God? This is required, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's always required, today even more so, because we have the forces of the world fighting against it. And if we don't teach our children what the church believes and what God wants of them, they will be taught by people who don't believe in God and who disregard His commandments. So we have to do our job. Bring your children to church. Teach them the feast days. Teach them the Word of God. Engage them in the sacraments. Know that if they sin, they can come to confession. Teach them that it's important to partake of the body and blood of Jesus Christ for their salvation, which was shed for the world. Teach them to love one another. Set a good example by doing the same yourself. So today we're blessed to have this wonderful gospel that teaches us that true richness is in that heavenly kingdom where we will live with God as He has promised. Being an inheritor of the promise, that's what makes us rich, not the possession of material things in the world. So we don't want to hoard our material things. We don't want to put all of our energy and thoughts and worship them. But rather, we want to worship God by doing His commandments and taking care of people who need it. And then also the blessed feast of the Virgin Mary when she was brought into the temple teaches us that it's important to start young and teach our children who God is, what He wants from us, and how to love Him and how to worship Him. So thank God for all things, the blessed feast day of the entrance to all of us, and may God continue to keep us in His mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.